Good morning, members of council. I've got a few amendments today. We can strike introduction of proposed zoning ordinances, and we can also strike grant request and the item listed under grant request.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second. Mr. Cole, any questions?
No.
I'm sorry,
I didn't know about the grant request deletion.
We are still seeking additional information from the recipient, and therefore we're not prepared to make a recommendation today, so we recommend striking their request off of today's agenda.
Okay, I'm looking for maybe help for Milton. Milton team?
That'll go on next week's agenda, yes, ma'am.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you, because that's so important. Thank you so much.
More questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
We have motion carried. We have the minutes of July 19, July 26. Any questions, concerns, corrections? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Mr. Moore, correspondence.
Yes, we have two letters, Mr. President. The first is from the Woodland Ferry Association, thanking the council for their grant to the Greater Seaford Chamber of Commerce to assist the Woodland Ferry Association and Festival. The other is a letter from the Lewis Fire Department, Inc., and I'm going to read this one verbatim. The officers and members of the Lewis Fire Department wish to send our deepest and most sincere appreciation for the assistance given to this department during the trying and stressful times surrounding the untimely death of our fallen brother, Timothy McClanahan. Through all the dark days, the personnel of your departments were a godsend and treated us with kindness and professionalism, and for that we thank you. It was reassuring to see the interagency cooperation that was displayed by all. Fraternally, Edward R. Schaefer, President, Lewis Fire Department, Inc.
Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Okay, next is public comment. Mr. Lawson's heading back there.
I missed him at breakfast.
Paul Rieger.
Good morning. Paul Rieger, 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown. It's what I'd like to get back to is with special uses and the conditional uses. Last week, or within the last couple of weeks, with the conditional use of Mr. Thaxton with the home occupancy discussion versus the conditional use in the general residential. For the last few years, trying to figure out what's the difference between AR and general and GR, which is general residential. And it seemed like with that whole thing, it came up where there is a difference between general residential in a subdivision and the AR. Now, with the special uses for all the fences and everything that I've seen the last couple years since this whole nightmare started, have been going back and forth. The only reason that I could figure out that the barbed wire was approved because it says director of planning can approve and authorize any fence. Now, if I look at that signature, now Director Lank on the Thaxton hearing didn't believe that his use was a home occupancy, he sent it to the Planning and Zoning Board. And then when the Planning and Zoning Board comes up and basically changed the decision on whether it's a home occupancy versus a conditional use, and confronted Director Lank's opinion and changed it. Now, how does a resident, when they don't agree with the planning and director or the building code, the building director, whoever signs off on the permits, because we come back to the fence permit, does not say nothing about barbed wire. It does not meet the height requirements for it, like every other fence. It should have went for a special use with the Board of Adjustments. I've listened to that board for so long. I've agreed with the way that they follow the law so many times. And I'd agree that how does a resident go about having the county say that this should have been bought as a special use? Just to question how it could have been approved. If on one hand, the planning board, if a resident come in and say, no, with the home occupancy, I don't agree with the director's opinion, then the director, I assume, would say, well, then go for a conditional use. Then the conditional use comes in and says, no, we have to debate back what it is because it's not in the code. The barbed wire isn't in the code, per se, that I could find in there, but we do have the state code, which refers back to it. But we do have the zoning for over 3.5 feet in the front 40 and the whole 9 yards. As to where is the state code, when we came in here for the, just with the planning and zoning appointments for the time frame, this is where I get confused. You've reverted back to following the state guidelines back on that. Why can we not follow the state code or come back on this whole issue and for the fence issue with the barbed wire? It's all there. It should go for a special use complaint. Can a resident request, or can I finally have a written notice back? I really don't ask for nothing in writing back because I've never got it. I was supposed to get something, or I asked at the Board of Adjustment meeting, that one thing for Ms. Cromwell to come up with an answer on this, or the Board of Adjustment had asked to come up with this barbed wire use. Can I get why it would not be a special use, how somebody can have an illegal fence under the zoning the way it's written and not refer back to the state code when it should have just came in and this whole issue should have been solved with a simple special use? If there's a gray area, have it go through special use and refund all the applicants' money. If it's just a money issue, but to come up with a conclusion on this and resolve it. But it should, I don't know how or whatever, if somebody has any recommendations on how you would approach something to go to a special, to say, yes, it should be a special use and have the county pursue it. Thank you.
Dan Kramer.
Boy, you guys are a motley bunch this morning.
What'd you look at me for?
Because you fit the bill, that's why. Last week, last Thursday night, Planning and Zoning had a hearing, or no, they had deferred it and they brought it back up on the whole business for the Thaxton issue. And then they decided that, oh, it's going to be a home occupancy, not a conditional use. Now, I'll tell you what, if that's the case, then why was Saxon in here to start with? And if that's the case, then you guys pay him back all the money that he spent to go through this garbage when it wasn't necessary. Because they gave him permission, like permission, to now say, oh, it's a now home occupancy. Then give him his money back.
Walt Yotko. Walt Yotko.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm Walt Yotko. I'm from Winding Creek Village. And on behalf of all the communities in the Herring Creek Sewer District, we'd like to express our thanks, one, to the council for their wisdom in getting this project moved through the process, but also to Todd, the engineering team, Hans and John, for really initiating this project with the whole community. It has significant benefits, not only to the community, but also in terms of the Inland Bays project. We're helping to clean up the bays. So on behalf of the communities, I'd really like to express our thanks, and that would be from Winding Creek, from Herring Creek, Pinewater Farms, and also a couple of the other, Sean's Hideaway, et cetera. But thank you. You did a great job, and we really appreciate it. And thanks to the engineering team. Fantastic.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Next, we have a consent agenda, two items, wastewater agreement number 558-8, Sussex County project number 81-04, Peninsula Lakes Phase 3 construction record in the Long Neck Sanitary Sewer District, and wastewater agreement number 558-9, Sussex County project number 81-04, Peninsula Lakes Phase 4 construction record, Long Neck Sanitary Sewer District. Any questions about the consent agenda? Hearing none, entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Yes.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I will, yes, motion carries. Mr. Lawson?
Thank you, Mr. President. One item today on the County Administrator's Report for August 2nd, 2016. Per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, the landings at Pepper Creek, otherwise known as the Marina at Pepper's Creek, Phase 3 through 4 received substantial completion effective July 29th. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Well, we got to come before a public hearing. So, next on the agenda is Mr. Thomas. And as I did last week, for the same reason last week, I'm going to recuse myself. Mr. Wilson has the gavel, and I shall return.
Don't run off too far.
I'm not going too far.
Did you leave him directions, Mike, on how to use it?
He's good to go.
Okay.
Get your hand where I'll show you. Go ahead, Mr. Thomas.
Good morning, members of the Council, Administration. I come before you this morning to seek your approval to move forward with an agreement to purchase a mobile command vehicle. I'd like to start out by saying that the information that I'm presenting today has not changed since last week. I'm just merely going to run through these slides for the benefit of Mr. Cole, who was not here last week. As we said before, the current mobile command unit, which you see pictured there, is 15 years old. It has some outdated technology. We have worked very hard to try to keep up with the times, but that vehicle provides us some limitations which we're trying to overcome. Some of the incidents that we have utilized the vehicle for is weather-related incidents. You probably have seen the flooding that has happened in Ellicott City, Maryland over the weekend. If an event like that were to take place in Sussex County, we would actually respond to the community with that unit. We would set it up, and we would coordinate all the services needed to handle that incident. Police, fire, EMS, transportation, emergency management, whatever the case may be. We also utilize it as a backup to our 911 service. We deal with equipment day in and day out with our 911 equipment and our radios, and unfortunately, equipment has failures. So that's part of our continuity of operations, so that we can actually push the 911 calls to that vehicle, as well as we can also page our 21 volunteer fire departments out of that vehicle if we have to. It's also utilized by the fire service during large incidents, such as large forest fires, mass casualty incidents, hazmat spills. As I mentioned last week, we recently took it to Rehoboth Beach where they had a large marsh fire, and we were able to provide the video from the Delaware State Police helicopter, which was hovering overhead, to feed to the incident commander so he could actually see the fires, which he could not physically see standing on the ground. So it was a support piece for that. And we also utilize it during very large events. Two of our largest is Apple Scrapple, which is in Bridgeville, and now with the return of Pumpkin Chunkin' outside of Bridgeville, those are two of our largest events that we deal with. The vehicle goes out, we set up, and we actually do all the police, fire, and EMS and transportation out of that vehicle to relieve the burden off the 911 center to handle the rest of the emergencies throughout the county. And some other events that we handle is also July 4th fireworks and also Return Day. The proposed mobile command unit that we're looking at, this is very similar to what we're looking at as far as purchasing, is from Frontline Communications. We're actually going through a state contract, if you will, through an agreement called the HGAC, the Houston-Galveston Area Councils. It's a cooperative purchasing agreement where there has been a competitive bid process in the past, and we're able to utilize that by becoming part of this Houston-Galveston Area of Councils. And the frontline is a vendor awarded in the HGAC by our agreement. To give an idea of the funding breakdown, the vehicle itself is $1,369,800. We also have some equipment that we are actually going to purchase up front to provide to the vendor to install the vehicle at a cost of $250,600, which leaves us a total cost of $1,620,400. We are able to get reimbursement for some of our expenditures through federal grant money. The $250,600 equipment price tag, that is a 100% reimbursable grant through Homeland Security. We purchase the equipment up front, and we will get complete reimbursement on that. The vehicle part, which is $1,369,800, we are able to go and use an emergency management performance grant, which is a 50-50 match. We spend the money and we get 50% of that money back. So when you look at the breakdown, and we've broken down the funding stream and the different years funding and items, we are, at the end of the day, going to get $935,500 back through Homeland Security and federal grants. And the county's portion of this bill will be $684,900. So we are going to, at the end of the day, the county's responsibility is less than 50% of the total cost of the vehicle if we pursue this and utilize the grants. And with that, I'll entertain any questions.
Well, just go back. I mean, I wasn't here last week, obviously. The one we have is 15 years old, and I was just wondering, and how often, other than those like Apple, Scrapple, et cetera, how many other times do we use it in a year approximately?
Roughly 30 to 35 times a year.
And it's actually used, they're actually functioning, doing something.
Yes.
They're not just parked for people to see. Okay.
Yeah, we do. We also go out and do displays. For instance, this evening it'll be going out supporting law enforcement in the National Night Out, where we'll let people take a look at the vehicle, see what goes on inside. But we are doing events such as marathons, triathlons. Okay. We're going to be going over to the ferry, Cape May Lewis Ferry, in a couple months. They have a large event, which is about 1,000 people. Mm-hmm. They've asked for our assistance. So, yes.
Okay. But you brought up Ellicott City. If we had a major flooding situation, would this, and let's say the vehicle was parked in an area that was susceptible to some of this water, are these designed to handle any if the water came up high?
Well, for instance,
is there any protection built into this thing that would, trying to say if it was parked in a bad place?
And I'll give you an example. Back in June of 2006, Seaford experienced 15 inches of rain in about an 8-hour period.
Yeah,
and we actually took the vehicle over to Seaford. We set up outside of their city hall, and we coordinated the search and rescue portion. Mm-hmm. And then once that was concluded, we actually brought in the FEMA reps to do a damage assessment of the area and ultimately mm-hmm. get a declaration. So we go to the community, but we try to keep it put in a spot where it's
harm's way. Okay, right. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
But if it got in harm's way, is there any? I mean, is there?
We can.
I mean, are they
we
designed?
Can move it. We would move it. Yes.
It doesn't float.
No.
No. I'm just wondering if the water's coming up. Do we?
That was when it should float.
Sometimes you got things that can make elevate the thing. I mean, it's pretty fancy what they can do stuff. Or maybe it's built. Maybe some of the stuff is built and protected. Water up to a certain height. I don't know. And back to that Galveston group. Was there a bid or anything, or what did we end up? How did we end up getting?
Mrs. Jennings, can you
explain
how?
We didn't bid it. We went with this company or this outfit in Galveston, and that's the type of vehicle they say we got or something.
What happens is that the Houston Galveston Area Councils enters into these purchasing agreements, right. And it's competitive bid. And what it allows us to do is instead of reinventing the wheel and go out and rebidding it, we can actually use what's been done in the past as a bid. Correct me if I'm wrong.
That is correct. It's just like any state contract vendor. They already do the formal bid process and select a vendor so that we don't have to do the whole competitive process.
But we tell them what we want our vehicle to have, I mean, in it, or do they basically come as a package with all this different stuff that most communities will need or something? I mean,
yes.
We didn't specify any particular things we wanted in our particular vehicle.
There is leeway to do your specifics, but for instance, the particular vehicle that we're speccing out is very similar to a vehicle that has already been done through this agreement, so
okay.
We're able to utilize that.
They already did the bid, and they came up with something, and we feel that what they bid will accommodate
yes.
our needs.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Have we already ordered this vehicle?
No.
So it sounds like the bill we got here.
No, sir. That's just a breakdown of the estimate, the quote that we have received.
I think George asked a good question about flooding.
Okay.
I don't see a lot of flooding here. a lot of use for this. And first, forest fires, I see very few forest fires, to be honest with you. Have you had this thing 16 years? Has it been involved in a forest fire since we spent $1 million on it?
Absolutely. We've had it out several times at large scale forest fires. One was outside of Millsboro about 10 years ago. We had the marsh fire recently in Rehoboth Beach.
See, you go back too far from me because I can't hardly remember back 10 years since we had a forest fire. I actually thought when I had a chicken house fire that I never saw any command post come out there telling him which way to go, how to get far out of my chicken house.
Well, we don't tell the incident commander what to do, but we can provide him support services. We can provide personnel, additional communication assets, those kind of things.
You know, and my thought is we've got a helicopter over top fanning the fire,
they're up high enough to where it's not fanning the fire.
Sound like we're not doing very much here. They're up high enough, not blowing it.
No, yes, they're up high enough to where they're not.
That's why we need a command center, get close by, right?
Yep.
Joe,
Mr. President.
Go ahead.
I have a question. You mentioned flooding, and of course, first thing I think of is in 09, how much flooding we had over in the, the Beaver Dam Road area, Hudson Road and all of that. Was that unit involved in any of that? It was pretty
usually
bad.
We typically don't take the unit to an area unless there is significant damage to where there's transportation issues. Maybe we need to do sheltering. Or even communication equipment is down to where we can take that vehicle and supplement that. So we're involved in all those flooding events, mm-hmm. and then we make a determination on whether we need to have our boots on the ground or whether we can handle it back at the EOC.
Mm-hmm. So we got to take this vehicle to places where there's shelters, correct?
No. No, sir.
I misunderstood you. What did you say about
that? I said when there's sheltering concerns in an area, we could utilize this vehicle to coordinate that if it's a specific area versus countywide.
So we're spending $1.5 million for this machine, correct?
For this half of it.
At the end of the day, the county's portion will be $684,000.
End of the day, somebody's going to put it on me. Almost $1 million for us. Is that correct?
The federal government's going to return our investment of $935,500.
When it's been my tax that way, I hope it's well worth it.
Mr. Vice President, I got a follow-up question. I just thought of something. And then I guess, Rob, you got a question. Okay. This will be real quick. You mentioned you went to Seaford.
Yes.
And you've gone to other towns. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any towns in Sussex County that have similar vehicles?
Not to that level, no.
Not to that level. They've gotten something to do.
I believe the city of Seaford and the city of Rehoboth have a small communications van that their police department utilizes, but nothing of that magnitude.
But those vehicles are limited in,
yes.
in what their ability. Okay.
Yes.
Because I keep thinking we do collect a lot of tax dollars from our towns within the city limits. And many times in the past, we've always talked about trying to give things, to provide some additional mm-hmm. services back to them. So I guess you could conceive that, or you could look at this as saying it's a way that a lot of the other towns that maybe aren't as large as Seaford or Rehoboth, that with the county having this vehicle, that we would make it available.
Absolutely.
If Bridgeville called up and said, we've got an issue, we'd like to have that vehicle, there's no problem with the county providing the services
yes,
and our personnel as part of
we offer service. It to all the local fire departments and police departments within the county.
Okay.
We'll even support the state police in Sussex County to an extent because our vehicle is closer than their vehicle, which is housed in Dover. So we work with the state police aviation section and those kind of folks.
But
too.
The state police have something similar to this?
Yes.
Okay, so if there's an emergency, both of them are going to be there?
It just depends on the law enforcement component. Most of the time, if it's weather-related, it's just ours.
Okay. So, the point I'm making is maybe some of the other towns that are moderate in size and their financial issues are different. We would have a vehicle that would help them.
Absolutely.
When they're in need of help.
Yes,
like
absolutely.
Ocean View or,
yep.
okay, because we do provide a service. Okay.
Can we get around as fast with a larger vehicle than we can when we have a smaller one? Why would we need a large vehicle we got now?
That vehicle was more designed to get over and set up a command and coordination point, if you will. You're not looking to get it down narrow streets. You're looking at getting it over to a community and reestablishing communications and support services to handle the incident.
Well, if we're trying to get around in areas where it's flooded out, we shouldn't have that kind of big...
Well, once again, we're not going in the affected areas. We're going to set up outside the affected area to support that specialized need.
Of course, all those guys got telephone radios anyhow, right?
And that's what we're doing, is we're taking those communications and coming through the vehicle and coordinating that response out.
Okay. Can you read the motion?
Not
yes.
Yet. Not yet. come look this way, Mr. Vice President. So may I ask a couple questions?
Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. So first off, thank you for being here. And I will reiterate, as I said last week, as Mr. Cole was not here, is I hope that we never have to use this vehicle. It is my hope that we never have to use a fire truck. It is my hope that we never need to use a Delaware State policeman or a state or anybody who's involved in public safety, because that means there's an issue. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's called preparation, being responsible. So that's my comment. And so a question that I would have for Ms. Jennings is, I think to Councilman Wilson's concern is, it's a lot of money. So the question that I would have is, as it relates to the $684,900, and as I look at the slide, it appears that the dollars that are already allocated have already been budgeted and passed in current/past budgets. Is that a correct assessment?
That is the way the federal funding works. They'll hold that money. But as far as us, we have $1.4 million in the budget for 17 in the capital budget. So we have that. I think it's going to take longer than 1 year.
But that middle column there is what I'm seeing, Sussex County funding.
We have that money in the capital budget.
So those are those are from previous, they are not.
We had budget in previous years, but we didn't have it done until this year, so we rebudgeted. So if you look at the fiscal year 17 budget, that full amount is in the fiscal 17 budget.
Okay, but why is that saying 2013 leftover, 2014 EMB?
Those are the federal grants that we're going to utilize to get that funding back. Okay. That's what those are. Those are just the federal grants that we're going to utilize.
So the left column is accurate, but the middle column there, it's really coming from a 2017 budget?
Right. The middle column is only Sussex County funding, yes.
That's what I'm seeing there. So
yes.
Okay. I'm just trying to understand the slide here.
So fiscal, if you want to look at why it's the way it is, fiscal year 2013 EMPG, we're required to match it at 50%. They have that $51,000 that came from 2013. We have it in this year's budget, but we have to match it 50%.
I understand now. Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So the other question I have is, I know our current arrangement with the state of Delaware is that we receive a 30% reimbursement on the paramedic piece. Does this qualify for that as well?
It does not.
It does not. Okay. I thought I would ask that very question. And then, the other concern I'm hearing from my fellow council members is the vetting process of the bidding. So with your expertise, and I think we all very much trust you, you have complete confidence in what the process has been up to this point and that we could proceed accordingly with zero issues from your perspective.
That is correct. This has been fully competitive, that we're using a state contract vendor that we do all the time.
Okay.
So I'm very confident.
Very good.
Are you absolutely sure it's justified?
Well, that's not her decision. She just knows where the money is.
That's all.
It comes from.
Are you absolutely sure it's justified? I know you would.
Yes, sir.
At your job, you'd have to say that.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Vice President, I got three more things just popped in my mind. Because years ago, we bought a sewage applicator, the engineering department did, and we had some federal funds available. We bought these two big trucks, and they sat outside, and they ended up, the weather ate them up. We never really used them. Now, we do park, we have a place to park this vehicle.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Undercover.
We actually, and I'm not sure, Mr. Lawson, what the official term of that building is out to the maintenance garage.
Maintenance building.
The newer maintenance building, we actually have a bay house.
Dedicated to this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you said maintenance. So we do. Do we have people? Can our people maintain most of the basic components of this vehicle? Like would they do maintain other vehicles?
We actually have a committee that's worked on this project, which comprises of the Emergency Operations Center, the communications section, which is the radio piece, and also the IT department. So We're speccing equipment that we'll be able to maintain over the years.
All right, and so, and I'm sure you need some special training maybe because
yes.
everything's a little different. So your personnel will be trained?
Yes.
By bringing in somebody?
The vendor or manufacturer will train our folks on the proper operation of the vehicle, and obviously then our dispatchers will work out of it, so yes.
Okay. Well, actually, how many miles do we have on the old vehicle?
I believe, sir, it is around 20,000 miles.
27,000. Okay.
We'll convert that to a mobile home.
It looks like we'd be able to fix the thing up, doesn't it?
A travel trailer.
And if you look at fire apparatus throughout the state, typically once they reach 15, 20 years old, they typically are not because of high mileage. It's just because of the simple age of the equipment and the use of the vehicle.
Maybe we should put it in a building.
Sam, I just figured out how to pay for it. We turned the old one into a food truck, and we have a county food truck parked out here at the circle, and we could make a killing.
Oh, yeah.
And as I stated last week, there is
we might even put popcorn in it.
There is a market out there to be able to sell the old vehicle. So there's a possibility we'll still recoup some even more money out of this.
Like a food mm-hmm. truck.
So one more question, Mr. Vice President. So what you're saying is in 09, when I was asking Conservation District to help me out with these people who are having flooding, some flooding running right through their house and under their house. And it's a very, very violent situation.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't able to get any help from the state. And I think what I really needed to do is get some cooperation from one of the fire departments to come out with an adequate pump.
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman already had a pump, just couldn't handle it. Fortunately, Mrs. Briggs King found a fire department that could handle it. But should we have just called you?
No,
the short answer is yes.
Yeah.
Because what we'll do is, if we get those calls,
this is a lot of waste of time.
We will reach out to the local fire departments and see if they have the ability to help out.
That would have been very helpful.
Or I have the ability to push it up to the state level at different different agencies.
Yeah. All I could get back was some Century 25 or some kind of money. We don't have that kind of money anymore. That doesn't help me at all.
But this vehicle wouldn't be used for
no.
that.
But
no,
sir.
You're just your office, right?
They can coordinate.
They wouldn't use that vehicle. He can just coordinate it out of his own office.
That's
right.
The important part.
Right. That's okay. I just didn't want anybody to think we're.
That's what I thought was buying. It sounded like we're buying a water pump in there.
No, we're not going to have any water pumping out of there.
Okay. Would you mind reading?
Yes, I have a motion.
Be
it moved that the Sussex County Council approve the director of the Emergency Operations Center to move forward with an agreement with Frontline Communications to purchase a mobile command unit in the amount of $1,369,736.60.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay, I got a second.
You got a motion and a second?
How about Joan? You want to go ahead and vote?
I made it. I made the motion. I have
vote?
A second.
Calling for the vote.
Mm-hmm. Calling for a vote.
You ready for the vote?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Thank you, Mr. Cole.
Based on staff recommendations and financial department recommendations, I'll vote yes.
Mr. Barnett?
Put him on the spot.
Close. Mr. Arlett. So in any event, I think it's absolutely the right thing to do and a very responsible thing to do from this council to absolutely vote yes in favor of this based on all the circumstances that have been presented. So certainly I would be very happy to say yes.
I vote yes and it passes.
Thank you.
There you go.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What else on the agenda?
When would we expect this vehicle to...
He's already got it ordered.
Arrive in Sussex County.
Once we sign the contract, we should have it within a year.
Within a year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Wilson, Mr. Vincent will be here in a few minutes.
Okay.
Continue.
Public hearing.
Yes, if you desire, Mr. Vice President, I'll go ahead and start with the public hearing.
Go ahead.
This is time and place for a public hearing on a proposed Tidewater Landing expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District, West Rehoboth area, Mr. Ashman from our County Engineering Department will give a brief synopsis of what is proposed and presentation. After that presentation, the County Council members will have an opportunity to ask questions. Subsequent to that, this matter will be opened up to a public hearing and public comment, and the public will be asked to comment. And Mr. Ashman.
Good morning. I appeared before you on June 21st to request permission to prepare and post notices for the Tidewater Landing expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District. The expansion was requested by the developer of the project known as Tidewater Landing, formerly Love Creek Landing, in the Gosley Creek area. Tidewater Landing is a by-rate subdivision, and the Planning Commission is the only review body for approval, and all agency approvals must be in place prior to final subdivision approval. The boundary has been revised from the original request to remove a parcel to the south. The county was originally contacted by a prospective developer who requested inclusion of this parcel. However, the actual request and paperwork was never submitted from the original or from the landowner. Therefore, we revised the acreage for the expansion, and it will be 223.84 acres plus or minus. The parcels will be responsible for system connection charges of $5,775 based on current rates. The expansion was posted on July 13th, advertised on July 19th and the 26th. To date, we have had no calls in opposition to the proposed expansion.
Okay. Any questions from council?
Is that a stream or something that's following up in those little two like ears up there at the top? That we've got yellow, those little narrow areas.
This is a pump and streams.
Right.
That feed into Love Creek.
Right.
That is actually like a private owned pond, and the guy has given us approval.
Is it wetlands or is it just?
This is all wet streams. This main section down here is the pond. These are sort of streams that feed it and wetlands.
I'm just wondering why we include areas that are it encourages somebody to want to then pursue it to develop an area that is a watershed that's obviously of benefit to keeping the waters clean. So I'm just wondering why that little narrow, that one going up to the top there. Just seems like we shouldn't include those in sewer districts.
It's all listed as one parcel.
Well, I know that, but we don't
need that to maintain the contiguous path into the sewer district, so that it doesn't.
But it encourages, development of those areas, which.
They can't develop.
Well, I know, but what, but there could be arguments made because it's in the sewer district that. In the future, and we ought to maybe address that. And anyway, doesn't just seem like good planning to incorporate those kind of areas into a sewer district because of their fragile nature. I'm just wondering if it's a good idea. I just question whether it's a good idea. Maybe Hans, you can think about that in the future when we see areas like this that. Obviously, it's in the environmentally sensitive developing district, and it's environmentally sensitive, and then we throw it in a sewer district. It just seems absurd for us to be doing that.
Sorry. Well, I'm sure you're right, Mr. Cole, but as who person who's got Love Creek in her district, I'm thrilled to see any of this along the entrances into Love Creek. Anything that could help that poor creek would be very much appreciated. Sewer system would be very helpful to keep more septics and other things out. So,
Mr. President, Mayor.
Yes, sir.
Just want to add a little comment, and I agree with Mr. Cole. I would say at the same time, public sewer and sensitive areas are good, right? I think in that sense. So, that won't dictate what gets built there. It's the land use plan, I would say. But I think to me, I agree with you in the sense that we have to consider that. But I think to me, it would be a positive and not a negative in this particular case. So
it encourages it, that's all.
Okay. Any other questions from council? Did you have anything else to add, Mr. Ashman?
Nope.
If not, we're going to open the record for the public. Is there any member of the public that would like to come forward and address this issue or speak to this issue? Is there any member of the public that would like to speak to this issue? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter.
We'll close the public hearing. Mr. Cole?
I just got one last question. You say there is a proposed subdivision here?
Yes, where you see the right. Large area that says proposed tidewater right. landing.
What is the density of that? Has it already been approved, or is it?
It needs this approval to come to you for final.
But have they gotten it? Are they asking for a change of zone or up zoning?
I don't think so. I think the zoning's on.
Was it zoned AR1?
Checked, I believe.
I'm assuming it's zoned AR1 unless they've had a change.
I believe.
Blank.
Please come forward.
This project was just approved with a time extension by council on the 19th of July. It's like, I forget the number of units, but it's AR. It's a cluster subdivision. I think it's like 224 units. I don't have that number exact, but it was just approved by council. You have till December 31st to record their final subdivision plan, and then they would be in final status to proceed.
Okay, but it's an AR1?
It's AR1.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Anything else from council?
It's also a hookup.
Mr. Moore, you have a
first.
Yes, I have a resolution. It's a resolution to extend the boundary of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District, SCUSSD, to include parcels situated on the north and south side of Robinsonville Road in the vicinity of Gosley Mill Pond, and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, Delaware.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved, Mr. President.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mrs. Deaver. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I will. Yes. Motion carried. Mr. Medlars?